I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Listening to The Stew. It's my food podcast. I'm Jason Stewart. Andre Conoparo, say hello.
Hello. I also do stuff on this podcast.
He's also on this podcast. He is the other host. My brother's not here because he's working.
I thought you had a woman host. Nikki?
Nikki is the host of my other podcast that's not a food podcast.
Oh, I made a mistake and listened to those podcasts.
Oh.
To prepare myself.
You done fucked
it's
up.
It's a little less hard R than the other.
What does hard R mean?
This one is a little more PG-13 and the other one's a little more R-rated.
Oh.
Unless you want to get nasty on this St. Patrick's Day.
You can say F words and S words, but there's just like less.
Just try to do 1 hour without doing any of your racist stuff, okay,
yeah. Rucker? Oh my God. What the fuck?
But there's less like of a very like.
No hate speech will be tolerated on this show.
Why did you go to racism though? This is
wow,
like
so fast.
That
too.
You really sped it up.
Why are you suddenly so on the defense?
Because that's terrifying. Why am I here?
Nicole Rucker, say hello.
Hello.
You brought us over six cookies.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One for every foot of your height.
Boom.
This is
a
true.
Thoughtful number of cookies.
Yeah, I'm over here trying to be on my health and fitness, and then you just dropped 3 pounds of brown butter kumquat cookies. What else you got in there? I saw a
sprinkle cookies and oatmeal cookies.
I love oatmeal cookies.
That's good. There were only 3 chocolate chip cookies left, and I was like, I'll just leave those for paying customers.
Ooh.
Take the oatmeals. Nobody wants those.
What?
It's crazy a talk. Rare, specific person that wants an oatmeal cookie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Please describe the personality.
So obviously chocolate chip is the number one cookie in terms of sales.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sprinkles might be number one. And then chocolate chip.
Oatmeal cookies.
I've got a beef with sprinkles.
Excellent.
What is your beef? Palm oil? Do you want to talk about palm oil?
I do.
I mean, I didn't know.
How long do we have?
Well, put that palm on ice for 1 second. A sprinkle offers no flavor.
That's not true.
What does a sprinkle taste like?
It has tastes like a slightly fat. It's fat. It's fatty tasting and sugary. It tastes like a marshmallow, sort of. Like a plain marshmallow.
It does taste like a marshmallow, but if a marshmallow was a half of a millimeter. So like how much flavor is really being
the cookie is
placed
rolled
on
in sprinkles. There's like 2 tablespoons of sprinkles.
Well, like
on
when
there
you go and you get sprinkles on something like, okay, this does have a lot of sprinkles.
That's the most sprinkles I've ever seen.
It's on sprinkles on the bottom too.
Yeah, do you see the bottom?
Oh, my God.
Bob's,
okay, this
bottom's on fire.
Now you're going to know
what
a sprinkle tastes like.
This cookie is more sprinkle than cookie.
Yeah.
It's equal. It's about 50-50.
Jesus. But, like, typically, like, you know, you get an ice cream with some sprinkles on top or, like, cupcake with sprinkles on top.
That's consolation sprinkles. That's not sprinkles as an ingredient.
I have no problems disagreeing with him, but I'm kind of on his side of being underwhelmed most of the time by sprinkles.
It's just sprinkles. It's just like sugar. It's not
I do like the way they look, though.
Okay.
They're cute. You can taste the sprinkles now, right? Tastes like fat and sugar. It's fine.
The sprinkle to me, because it's, I think it's so much food coloring to get that color that the main flavor I'm getting off of a sprinkle is like the sort of medicinal, chemically food coloring flavor.
All
right. That's just me. I'm a super taster, so I can experience things that other people
can't.
Oh,
you've decided you're a super taster?
Okay.
Did you bring some tests for us to verify that?
I don't know if I'm a super taster. That was a joke.
But in the amounts that the sprinkles are in this cookie, this is, I feel like, the first time I'm kind of tasting
it's a disgusting amount of sprinkles.
But also, on the ranking of cookie ingredients in terms of flavor and things that I lust after and crave,
sprinkles is not one of them.
Hell no.
No.
But there's a nostalgia.
I would say not. I wouldn't. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, if I can have like a fleur de sel and chocolate, or a freshly sliced kumquat, or a all the other amazing cookies, a thin mint, whatever, thin. Blah blah blah. Sprinkles is not moving the needle for your boy.
There's a comfort and a nostalgia in looking at a beautiful white cookie with sprinkles in it. It makes you feel like a kid. It makes you happy.
Why does it gotta be white?
Smiley. Okay. All right, buddy.
Clearly, you want to talk about racism in food today.
I'm a little excited, guys. Well, it's the weekend.
Is it because I said Patty LaBelle, St. Patty? Oh, yeah. Like shit.
Today is St. Patrick's Day.
/ St. Patty's Day, which is apparently a new holiday to celebrate Patty LaBelle.
Okay.
It's really increased.
That's like when Pi Day.
It's happening on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Patty LaBelle.
I'm more of a fan of Patty LaBelle than
St. Patrick. Day. Yeah. Paul Ryan ruined St. Patrick's Day for everyone yesterday.
What'd he do?
He had a poorly pulled pint of Guinness in his hand on the podium in the place where like the government does the talking thing. Mm-hmm. And then he was wearing a mint green tie like a douchebag and was like, "Hey guys, happy St. Patrick's Day," but it was like a shitty pint. He said something like mildly stupid and sort of like racist a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the Paul Ryan I know.
Yeah.
And that sounds like the St. Patrick that I know.
Hmm. I thought never met St. Patrick was nice.
Yeah, he got he's out of Ireland, dude.
I don't mean the person, I mean the holiday. I think like my whole childhood, St. Patrick's Day was just like, oh, you wear green, it's funny. Mm-hmm. And then when you like are old enough to drink, then it's like, oh, now it's a time where you get wasted.
It's interesting because St. Patrick's Day for young ladies is wear green so no one pinches your ass.
Right.
Or like pinches your boob and then it's like, oh, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, it's chill.
It's fine. It's St. Patrick's Day.
I think this year, like maybe the last couple years, myself and my peers are starting to be like, you know what? St. Patrick's Day is just not, it's a bad day.
It's a bad day.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. I had somebody text me today asking if I was going to go out. And I was like, no, this is the most vomitous day of the year. There's vomit everywhere. I'm not going out.
Right before I drove over here, like 8 people came and one was wearing a kilt, a grown man. He was like 7 feet tall.
Looking for a discount, probably.
Wearing a kilt. Everyone was wearing green and buttons. And they got to Tom Bergen's at 7 in the morning to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. That's a level of dedication.
That's a level of alcoholism.
Yeah. We're calling Ubers. It's fine. Yeah. It's responsible.
But like, I feel like people, like, there's with all the, in the current political climate that we're all living in right now,
yeah,
St. Patrick's Day kind of seems like a holiday for the rest of us, not for us, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
What do you think's worse for Uber drivers or Lyft drivers, New Year's or St. Patrick's Day or Halloween?
Oh, I think it's probably New Year's.
You think?
New Year's.
I don't know.
This is a tough one.
It's a tough one, right?
Like in terms of vomit.
I think more people celebrate New Year's than celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm.
Just by sheer numbers, you're probably absolutely right.
And Halloween is... is that about drinking? I don't really know.
Very much so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think New Year's, because New Year's, you have the highest probability... This is a food podcast. You have the highest probability of making the most money out of any night of the year on New Year's Eve. The surge pricing is going to be through the roof. You're going to be working all day, all night, well into the morning. 8 in the morning, you could still be working. But then if one person vomits in that car, you're out of the race for the day. You got to go home and clean it up, and you can no longer make money if you have puke all over your car.
But that's why they have on New Year's Eve the seat protectors.
Also, you get hit with an automatic $200 if you throw open an
Uber. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's instantly.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's a nice consolation, but like, if you're really working hard on New Year's Eve, you could make, you know, more than $200.
If you were wasted and needed a ride on New Year's Eve, would you care that it smelled like someone else's vomit?
No.
So.
But by preference.
You would prefer it not to smell like someone else's vomit, but I've been in cars that smelled like vomit on like a Tuesday in January. That's not New Year's Eve.
Sure.
It's just a random day.
So what you're saying is you're chill with vomit.
Not just chill, sort of into it.
Yeah, seems like you prefer it. I get it. It's
I have two French bulldogs, and they throw up constantly. Like, vomit is just a part of life. It's almost like they have babies, but I don't. But yeah, they throw up for fun at this
point. So you have two bulimic Frenchies.
I think that the whole breed is semi-bulimic.
It's not...
I mean, the English bulldogs, they let themselves go. The Frenchies, they keep it a little more trim. How do they get there? I think we all know.
They do have really skinny waist. I never thought about it like that. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure English bulldogs throw up also. It has, like, to do with their flat faces.
Yeah.
They just have a lot more to lose. It's harder. It's an uphill battle. And also, they can't run or walk because their legs are so short.
Have they ever thrown up in an Uber and been charged $200 is the question.
That one of them crapped all over the table. At the vet's office when he got scared and peed.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's happened before, sure.
Peed in the car on the way into the vet's office. Oh, in traffic, took a shit in my trunk.
Ooh.
So I'm basically an Uber driver, and actually I drive a Prius, so sometimes I get mistaken for an Uber driver.
Yes.
Almost every week. Once a week, someone tries to get in my car.
What?
Not kidding. Or they wave at me, like, really angrily. Like, I'm here. This is me. It's me, see? Like,
I mean, wave their phone at me. You have a Prius, Andre.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever tried to get in your car?
Not once.
That's so strange.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't drive that often, though.
That makes me feel really unsafe.
When random men try to get in your car?
Yeah.
That doesn't make you feel safe?
But mine's like a silver Prius. Mm-hmm. It's large. It's the V, so it has like cargo space.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have the pink mustache on the dashboard, so that could be a problem.
Mm. Yeah. But you had it before Lyft was using it, so you don't want to give it up. It looks cool.
I just don't understand why people don't try and get in your car.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a vibe I'm giving off that nobody wants. They're just hoping I'm not their Uber driver.
Because you have a beard?
Like, oh, yeah.
I think you're a terrorist.
Why the beard?
I know why.
Wow.
Oh,
ouch.
You know, some ladies like a beard.
My husband has a beard. I like beards. Fun fact, I haven't seen my husband's upper lip in 11 years.
Wow.
That's the problem because I have a beard. No, I have a beard.
I've seen his lower face. He hasn't ever shaved his mustache. He hasn't shaved his mustache in 10 years.
I don't think I have either. And I learned that because when I don't have a mustache, like the beard, not that big of a deal, but the mustache specifically, if that's gone, I look like a completely different person to me.
Yeah.
It makes me look weak.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Like the mustache completes me as a man.
You're like Samson, but with a mustache.
Yeah. Without it, I'm crippled, like kryptonite. Crippled.
Kryptonite. Kryptonite.
Is kryptonite
cookies?
Is there a coincidence?
Can I bring it back?
Is that? We are talking about food.
At some point.
Okay.
Do you listen to any other food podcasts, Rucker?
I do. I was listening to one on the way over here.
Which one?
Splendid Table. Lynn Spiretto Casper. Although boring. On her way out, now it's going to be Francis Lamb. Doesn't have the same vibe to me. Kind of mad about it.
Wait, who's Francis Lamb? I've heard that name.
He's a writer. No, he was Savoir Magazine. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say that word?
Everybody kind of debates it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think the people that work there debate it as well.
I've never heard him pronounce it, so I'm just going to hold out for that. Yeah, he's taking over. Lynn's retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn has
big
a great
shoes
voice.
To fill.
Big shoes. Also, warm shoes. She's a warm lady. She's very nice.
Oh,
he feels
kind
of cold. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
How warm do you think we are in terms of people who do a food podcast?
When I close my eyes and listen to your voice, it reminds me of that one rapper.
Oh.
The funny one.
Oh, no.
Eminem.
Or like Fat Albert.
What?
Not the rap. Fat Albert wasn't a rapper, right? But there was a rapper that had that kind of same Fat Albert-like voice.
Like Notorious B.I.G.?
No, before him.
Biz Markie?
No, before him. And he wore like a funny hat sometimes. And I'm really bad at this.
Wow. So like the first rapper, like the Sugar Hill Gang?
These are the kinds of questions that I text my husband when I want to know like a song or something. You know, the one guy that has the hat, he had the funny hat. He was, oh man.
My voice reminds you of Fat Albert?
Yeah, a little bit.
Jesus Christ.
I'm never going to not hear Fat Albert again whenever you talk.
I don't even know if that's what Fat Albert sounds like, but like I picture Fat Albert. I know that's not. I knew that.
I like it. What'd you put in these cookies, by the way? What's the CBD to THC ratio?
Yeah, what's going on here? Man,
I knew you were going to talk about that.
Because you sound high as shit.
I'm tripping. It's true, you do. He's not lying.
Have you ever
done
it?
Damn, I really can't think of what that guy's name is, and it's bothering me.
It could be better that you don't.
Okay, well.
Well, you've got.
Sorry, Jason.
You've got another 40 minutes to figure it out, woman.
Oh, shit.
So you listened to The Splendid Table. Any other ones? I tried to listen to that podcast, but it was a little bit of a snoozer for your boy.
I think it's not. You're not the target demographic.
I'm not.
No.
Are you the target demographic?
No, but I like to,
it's more.
Know.
It's more for like a housewife?
Yeah. Situation. I'm a housewife. I'm a wife and I have a house.
They do. The Splendid Table Thanksgiving dish is always fun.
Huh?
The Thanksgiving rescue.
I love
Splendid Table.
Oh, the rescue hour?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's cute, though.
I like that one.
You know what's a bummer about that, though, is that people ask the same stupid shit every year. And
how do I cook my turkey?
You're like, look it up on Google. Why are we still talking about this?
It's kind of true.
Yeah.
Because they need the content.
Okay.
I mean, people call Loveline and be like, what do I do about this medical issue? And they're like, you can just go on and look it up, but you know.
Loveline used to be good.
We need the content.
I used Loveline to listen to that. Like, I used to listen to that a lot when I was a kid.
Same dude.
I don't even think
learned
it exists
a lot,
anymore.
Learned a lot about life.
It has
in that
to
show.
Be. It's like too big. It's like too big of a brand.
Dr. Drew
anymore.
Doesn't. But Dr. Drew was on Loveline, right?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't be on it.
Yeah, he doesn't do it anymore.
He was so cool back in the day. He should do a food podcast. I would listen to that. What other food podcasts do I listen to? Sometimes
the Kisser W.
I do listen to Good Food.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a good one.
Yeah, last week's episode we had Gillian Ferguson.
She's one of my BFFs.
She was the guest last week.
Where?
You guys are on this show.
Oh, really?
This show, last episode.
Yeah, she's great.
That's interesting. We didn't talk about that. We talked to each other a lot in the car. Ooh.
She was probably trying to block it out of her memory
wow,
that
probably.
She appeared on this show.
Oh, it's true. Oh, also,
right
this is
heart.
Really far away for her. Like, this is a... On
yeah,
the other
she
side
was
of the planet.
Very sweet to come over
yeah,
this far.
She's super
yeah.
nice to do that.
I mean, she's a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a 3-hour time investment for her. That's a lot. Did you pay her? Am I getting paid for this?
Oh, of course. I mean, you get,
yeah.
you get podcast
you
scale.
I think
what
she's...
is that? You know, Jillian was talking... I hope Jillian does her own podcast because I would listen to that. She has a nice voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you're into every food podcast except this one.
Yeah, it sounds like
I didn't even know this was a food podcast. I thought I was talking about the other one where you have like the funnier people on.
God damn it.
This is
Mike
good.
Eagle? Was that? That one was funny. I like that guy.
Good. Yeah, he's a good guy, huh?
I don't know what he does, but he was very funny.
He is very funny. He's a rapper and a comedian.
Not the rapper I was thinking of that sounds like Fat Albert.
Yeah, check out my other podcast. It's called Tall Tales. Unless you're my mom, don't listen to it.
You should definitely listen to... I haven't heard a ton. They're all great, all the episodes. But the Smoke and Cigs 23 episode is incredibly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you might want to listen to on the way home. And it's truly one of the better pieces of internet broadcasting.
Smoke and Cigs 23 is her Instagram handle, and she's just a loose cannon of a woman.
Oh, really?
It's great.
She's okay. like an 18-year-old girl that would appear on Maury Povich.
Yeah, for
oh.
sure.
She's
I
into,
did.
She's like the How About Da lady? What's
yes.
the, like that?
She's very along those lines, but much more eloquent. Despite her
nice
shortcomings.
You said would appear, but she literally did appear, and well, that's why she was there on your thing, because she was in town to be on a talk show.
That's true.
Talk show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
on
that.
What? She was on what?
I don't, maybe
oh,
it
Maury
was,
Povich?
No, I think it was Dr.
Phil.
I don't know. What,
Dr.
It,
Phil.
It was one of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
don't
not
know.
Dr. Phil. It was worse than Dr. Phil, for sure.
Geraldo.
Yeah, Geraldo.
Oh, man.
Where'd you grow up?
Yep.
San Diego and San Francisco.
Nice. I grew up in San Cruz.
Both of the Sands.
Yeah.
So you're pretty good with like California missions then.
Oh, I was just talking about California missions yesterday.
No, you weren't.
Yes,
no, you
I
weren't.
Was.
All
oh,
right.
I was.
Let's hear it.
I was texting my best friend about the California missions.
Wow.
For
did
real.
You, did your family take you on tours of them in the summer?
I mean, yeah. I made like a full scale model of the Balboa mission when I was like 12.
What? I think it was 5th grade or 6th grade is when you had to make the California mission.
Yeah.
I made San Luis Rey, and my mom took us on a family trip to that mission. I think it's in Oceanside.
Yep. Yeah.
That was the tightest of all missions, of course.
Was it? Really? Mm-hmm. My family's...
What kind of food do they have at the missions?
Oh, they probably have fresh tortillas. They probably have masa. I don't know.
This is now you're becoming racist.
I'm half Mexican. I could say that shit.
Half Mexican.
Media wing.
You can only do it half the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this concludes my Mexican
voice. That's it. They have a lot of native plants at the missions. Like,
ooh, like succulents?
Grape varieties that are native to California.
Grape?
Grapes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like for making wine.
Nice.
Firewater. And then citrus. Like I was talking about it yesterday because of the citrus. Because a lot of the native citrus to California was brought by the Spaniards to the missions. Mm. And they cultivated it there, and it's like the original source for all of these plants. And then this one guy in like 1840 got some from the missions, took it to downtown, started a citrus grove. It was the largest, first commercial citrus grove in all of the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I feel like my mom, who's listening to this right now, is going to be like, I like this.
What's your mom's name?
Karen.
Karen, buy my book. Thank you.
God damn it.
2018.
Mm-hmm. 2018, buy her book. It's a little slice of California's gold.
Oh, I loved California Gold. Yeah. The best. I wish he was alive to have a podcast.
If Huell Hauser had a podcast, that'd be great. Oh. A friend of mine went to a party and he said Huell Hauser was trying to have sex with him.
He was into that.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
I heard he was a nasty little guy.
Oof.
A little freak.
I heard
Huell Hauser was a freak.
Oh.
Bad boy.
I can't talk about Huell Hauser's sex life. This makes me embarrassed.
You don't want to talk about his post hummus sex life?
No.
He kept a beautiful home in Palm Springs.
Yeah, he did. I've driven past it.
What do you think was in that jacuzzi?
That human soup.
What do you think, Rucker? What do you think was in there?
If you were going to dedicate a pie to Huell Hauser, what would that pie be made out of?
I hung out with Huell Hauser at a pie competition.
Oh.
So.
Do it in a Hauser voice.
Intel.
Give me a little bit of a...
I don't... Ooh, could I? Maybe I could. I don't think I can.
Oh, great.
I can't do it.
Pie.
I'll die. He did say pie like that. That's a good one. You can do it. Mm-hmm. He was in charge of judging the cream pie category. It was 95 degrees outside.
Oh, wow.
He got overheated and had to go home early.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, the cream pie category is the worst category, other than the vegan pie category. It's terrible. But it was like, I feel for you, Huell, because that's a lot to eat. But
cream pie is the worst category next to vegan pie because of it's just richness.
It's usually like really hot outside on the pie competition day.
Because they're all summer time events.
Yeah, and like end of summer. And everyone knows like September in LA is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a
horrible place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I have to eat a bunch of pie. And that doesn't feel good.
No, so, it doesn't.
You know, he had to eat like one spoonful of 25, 40 cream pies. Mm-hmm. That's gross.
That's not right.
Mm-mm.
How many pie contests have you entered, and how many of those have you won? What's your batting average is what I'm looking for.
I don't know about batting averages and how you calculate it.
We can just do a plain old percentage of
victories. I've entered four and won two.
Not
but
bad.
One of them, I won 4 out of 7 awards.
Oh.
So it was like hitting, you know, a bunch of home runs in one game, right?
A grand salami.
Yeah. Wow. So there's that.
Well, did you need somebody to help you carry away so many trophies?
Yeah, I did.
Did they give you a wheelbarrow just to bring it back?
It was like ribbons,
Tesla?
But I had like whiplash because the medals were so heavy.
Sure.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
Was one of those 4 awards out of 7 the best pie, period?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What pie was that?
Pork with peas.
Oh.
Pork with
I love peas. A savory Actually, pie.
The meat pie category seems like it would be hard to judge too, because like I don't want to eat a bunch of other people's meat sitting out in the sun.
That's fair.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Oh, one time I judged a pie contest with Evan Kleinman at the Google factory in Venice.
Evan Kleinman, right back to my DM.
Oh, what? She wants.
I was trying to get her on this show, but she won't
write
me back.
She's in Italy. She doesn't have time to DM people. She's on an Italian vacation. Leave her alone.
They have a Wi-Fi.
Do they?
In Italy? Sure. I think they have the internet
now. She's probably in like what's the Italian version of a hacienda?
A villa?
Oh, yeah, a villa. Yeah, she's probably in like a villa. She might not have Wi-Fi.
She's on a damn villa. Okay, that's fair, Evan.
So leave her alone. She'll get back to you.
You got two more weeks. She's never going to write me back.
You want her phone number? I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Okay, so meet
Evan. Should we give Evan's phone number out now?
Yes.
On the show.
Yeah, it's about time.
We went to Google and we judged a pie contest in, it was a bunch of nerds at Google. I mean, geniuses at Google. Made pies for us. It was really wonderful. Got to tour Google. That was fun. And then they didn't structure it by categories. It was just like all these different kinds of pies on a table. And we tasted everything. And there was a couple savory pies. And it turns out one of the savory pies was like a crab Louis pie or crab cream of crab.
Mm-hmm.
I hate shellfish.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a bite of cream of Louis crab pie. It was disgusting. It was horrible. In that moment, it was horrible because I don't like crab. This person's pie might have been good if they're listening.
Right.
Did you know that it was crab?
No signs on any. It was surprise. It was a surprise crab pie.
But luckily, you're not allergic, though.
Not allergic. Just don't like it.
Did you spit it out across the table?
I spit out everything.
Oh.
In a cup.
Got it.
But, you know.
And then you eat the cup afterwards.
Why do you want it to be about vomit?
I don't know. But it's just coming very naturally to me.
If I was my dog, I would have eaten the cup.
For sure. And the
spit up.
So are you like the number one pie person in America?
No.
Who is the number one?
I don't know. Who's number one?
You.
I don't know. When I think of like pie, like people who are...
You live in a bubble. It's called Los Angeles.
Ouch.
How many pies have you eaten across the country?
I'm talking just in terms of notoriety. I don't know who would be more attached to pies specifically than you.
There's like, and I have 420 Blackbirds probably has more exposure than I do. They're nice. They have good pies in New York.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's okay if you're... If you're number one, you know that, right?
It is okay, but I don't think I am.
You're so number one that you're opening your own brick and mortar.
But it's not a pie shop.
God damn it. What is it?
It's a bakery.
Are you going to have pie there?
Maybe one kind.
Maybe one kind?
Yeah.
Are you
maybe one or two kinds of pie.
Are you specifically?
Of course you're going to have pie.
We're going to have like one or two kinds of pie every day.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great.
That's not a pie shop. If that was, that'd be easy.
Okay, so when does this place open?
Maybe in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have the location already?
Yes.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
I can, sort of, because they already talked about it in Eater, so I'm sure it'll be fine. No one listens to this. It'll be fine.
Right? No.
A lot of people listen to this.
Really? Oh, then we should stop talking.
What
just
neighborhood
kidding.
Is it in?
It's on La Brea. It's in the old location where Tinga was.
Oh, okay.
Guess what? Tinga is closed.
Tinga should be closed.
Hey, that's mean.
Tinga wasn't very good.
That's not nice to say.
Is it wrong?
People lost their jobs.
Sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying... I mean, that part is bad. I'm just saying that I didn't like the restaurant. That's fine, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Are you specifically not doing more pies than just a couple daily drivers because you want it to not be kind of thought of as focused as a pie shop? Or is it just you want to do other things?
I feel like if you're going to have, well, many, it's all of those things.
Yeah.
The main one being that I cannot eat pie all day long. No one should. And if I'm going to like have my place, which is like hope that
free
place
food.
Is open for like 50 years, you know, or like 20 years. In Los Angeles, that would equal like 5 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even for the next 5 years, I'm going to be there like every single day. And you can't eat pie 3 meals a day.
It's a very rational reason.
I need to eat other things. Like right now, Kofax, like you shouldn't even eat a breakfast burrito once a day, let alone like maybe twice a week is also a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of breakfast burrito.
How many Kofax breakfast burritos do you eat per week?
Half a burrito a week.
They're good so for good, you, though.
That's down from one a week, which was...
You those know? Are, I mean, and
that's a burrito.
The temptation to resist eating one of
it's
those.
It's so difficult.
Because
also,
they're free.
There's tater tots everywhere. There's tater tots in like a container of bacon just sitting there.
So you're
I
just,
like vegetables.
So you're there at Kofax every day for the most part?
Right. I used to be. Right now I'm there, you know, at least once a day.
Scaled down a little bit.
Yeah. Got to open the new place. Got things to do.
Sweet.
Got to write a cookbook for your mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is your cookbook going to be mostly desserts and pastries and things like that? Or are you going to have expanding other worlds of cuisines?
It is a cookbook about fruit and baking with fruit.
Cute.
So, is that cute?
Yes.
All right. Well.
And you already have like the book deal and everything? You pitched it and
I pitched it and I did like a bidding. There was like a bidding thing where people bid on me.
Damn.
Made a proposal.
Do you have an agent?
I have an agent. Her name is also Nicole. That's great. Very easy to remember.
So how many, when you pitch this cookbook idea, how many recipes did you have to include in this pitch?
We included in the proposal, I think it was like 10 recipes, but a table of contents that had 125.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
So that was there. And then we had photos and stuff. We took some photos for it of fruit. It was really fun. That part was really fun.
And then you get an advance?
Yes, that's how it works. You get an advance and they tell you to write it. And then you write it and then you turn it in and then they give you more money.
Is this something you're finding fun or is it intimidating or what do you
think? It's super fun. I love it. Yeah, okay, I'm into it. Yeah. I would like to like really spend like a month just like doing it and not have to do anything else. That would be like an ideal situation because it is really hard to focus on like do either of you guys write?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't come second nature to me. Right. I would rather make things than write things.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So
but that's hard. But you're choosing to do it all yourself, and you're not working with another person to do the writing.
No, I'll write it myself.
Good.
Yeah.
Who's publishing it, are you allowed to say?
I am. It's Pam Krause Books, and she is part of Penguin Random House in Avery.
Great.
Amazing. How much money was your advance?
Jason, that's very rude to
ask. He does that all the time.
You never know. Sometimes you sneak it in and sometimes you'll just respond without thinking about it.
No, we shouldn't talk about that. Classic Jason.
Look, it's just a fun joke, okay, guys? It's no big deal.
Super fun.
Well, that's so crazy.
Yeah, it's great.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
What's the name of your restaurant?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Actually, I want to ask you guys, but I shouldn't tell you what it is.
You want to ask us what?
Because I like to get people's reactions.
Well, we
to
can
it.
Talk about it off pod. Oh. If you want.
That's fine.
In on pod.
Off pod, on pod.
It's just really hard to name something like that.
Really? I would imagine it being...
Naming things anything is so hard.
Yeah.
So difficult.
The thing I've learned with naming things is... If you have time, enjoy that. Let the time. If you're opening in the summer, you've got months.
But here's the thing. You don't have that much time because there are balls that need to be set in motion.
Set those balls.
Yeah.
You got a month?
Branding.
Mm-hmm.
Packaging. If you want to brand any of your packaging, got to start that now. It takes like 12 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Got to have the tote.
There's things. Tote. Websites.
Sure.
Need to be...
Instagram
made.
Handles need
That's
to be
easy.
Acquired.
That's fine. It's the like someone has to make your website.
Mm-hmm. Did you? How are you in terms of business minded skills? Did you go to school for any business stuff? Is it coming to you naturally? Are you bad at it?
I don't think I'm bad at it.
It seems like you've got a pretty good handle.
I'm learning. I learn. I like to learn. I learn a lot. I sound like Donald Trump right now.
You're a tremendous learner.
I'm a nice learner. I'm nice. It's a real. I got a nice. I know what I'm doing. It's fine.
You got the best learning in the country.
I love learners.
I think that I'm pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You seem like it. You don't seem like you're screwing around.
I don't screw around.
You party a lot.
I don't even know what that is. What's partying?
Didn't think so.
I can't imagine your life of being a DJ. I was thinking about that on the way over here.
Have you ever tried alcohol?
Yeah.
That's partying.
Is it? I've never been drunk, really.
Oh. Yeah.
Ever.
What?
True story. Never had a hangover.
Same.
He doesn't get hangovers.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. I've been very hungover. Horrible.
Yeah, I've never had a hangover.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you drink, what do you like to drink? Just like have a glass of wine?
I'm versatile. I like to drink all kinds of things. It doesn't matter. But like I usually get bored or I want to go to sleep. I'd rather sleep.
Than just about anything?
Yes.
Really?
Usually.
Sure.
If it's at nighttime, I like wine. I like, you know, sometimes I like beer. My husband's really into fruity beers right now. I don't like those, but I like other kinds of beer.
I like fruity beers.
Fruity sours, that's all he likes. Mm. We have fruit salad in our fridge, but it's in cans all the time.
Yeah, I'm right there with him.
Watermelon, mango, tangerine.
Mm-hmm. When will it end?
I'm a huge fan of sours. Not an IPA guy.
But you just don't really get drunk.
I do. I can get drunk, and I have been buzzed many, many times.
Buzzing, cousin.
But I stop. I just stop.
Same.
Because you're responsible?
Not same.
well, sometimes it's because I don't like taking Ubers because they smell like puke.
That's a good reason.
No, I don't like taking cabs or Ubers. I like to drive myself home.
Okay.
I like to, because I like to control when I leave.
Yep.
Because I don't like to stay out super late.
Mm-hmm. What about the Irish goodbye?
Gotta get home
to
the dogs.
I don't know what that is.
That's when you just leave wherever you are without saying anything to anyone.
I'm the master of that. That is my, that's what it's called.
Yeah, when you just dip out of a bar with like 15 people and you just don't tell anyone where you went and go home.
It's a big problem in my marriage because my husband likes to say goodbye to everyone. I'm like, they don't care. Let's just leave. We're just going. It's fine.
He does a stop and chat.
He likes to stop and chat with everyone.
I like that.
But that's what you love about him, right?
Totally.
Except when you want to go home.
I have like a time limit. I'm like, we can go to your friend's party for an hour and then I'm leaving and you can stay and I'm fine with you staying, but I have to go after
that's
that.
That's fair. And you truly don't care if he stays all night and gets
don't
wasted?
Don't care. Fine with me. Stay there.
Prefer it.
I like being alone.
Do you, and speaking of that though, but do you have more normal baker's hours, meaning horrible hours? Or are pie baking hours a little bit more reasonable?
Well, Kovacs makes donuts, and they're usually a breakfast food. So all the bakers at Kovacs get to work at 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
That's been the
time
bulk.
Time to make the donuts.
Time to make the donuts. That's been the majority of my career.
Yeah.
The last two
so,
years
yeah,
of
so
my
you have
life.
The, you, yeah. You keep those gnarly baker hours.
Right. True. But, you know, I don't think I've ever really been into, like, hardcore partying. My family likes to party,
ooh.
Or they used to like to party. So I think it just
before the accident.
Me.
Yeah,
that's not very nice. What if there really was an accident, Jason?
I rolled the dice. I took
Whoa.
A chance.
He does that a lot too.
Now you'll never know.
Don't want to know. Frankly, it'd be rude to ask. So I remember when I first met you at the Smorgasburg, you were kind of. I remember you were talking about like, oh, I gotta go, roll out. A bunch of pie doughs or something like you were sort of like letting me know that this pie life can be a little dark and lonely and
was that the impression?
It not
was
more dark like, and lonely, but just kind of like
it's probably more like I would like to not talk to this person anymore. I got to find a way out of this. Let me make myself appear to be very busy and important.
Dang,
that
I'm
person,
try that more often.
That person was me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, it was the two of us.
I'm fine with
you were there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
What's
I was
worse,
with him at Smorgasburg.
What's worse, trying to get out of talking to me or not even knowing
that you
were there? That
you met me.
You know who I remember was there? Jillian Ferguson.
Yeah, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where I first met her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And we went out and we went to
Pacific Dining Car.
Dining Car for martinis.
With Jillian after that?
Yeah.
It was great.
Damn, I really miss. I would have gone for that.
Well, you're invited. If you
we did invite you, but
no,
you said you had to go roll out.
Did you invite me?
That's how this happened.
Yeah.
This is exactly how it happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
there's
Rucker?
Two against one, so I believe you.
Also, this would be an odd, elaborate lie to make up for no reason.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not really that exciting.
I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed about not remembering that kindness, but...
It's fine. But
I did have to make a lot of pie because Smorgasburg was opening the next day.
Yep, that's exactly it.
It's true. I was going to work like all night.
Soft preview.
Yeah.
So when you're making these pies, do you just like have your music playing and you're just hanging out alone and just doing your thing?
Yeah. It's great.
You like it?
I love it. So much fun.
What about TV?
I like TV.
Will TV be on? You'd be binge watching something? You
know, it's in the kitchen. We don't watch. We don't have TVs in the kitchen.
I always wonder about that.
No.
I feel like if I was doing that kind of work where it's not on a line, you know, it's less chaos because it's controlled in the amount of hours you're doing unless something completely goes awry.
If you can watch TV?
Like, yeah, I feel like I'd have some TV on.
No.
Have a little Bloomberg up there, a little Home Alone 2 up there.
Something. I mean, probably not. I hate watching network news, so it would be, but yeah, but anything other than network news, fair game. Sports, binge watching Netflix, something.
I've never thought about watching TV while at work.
Or I'm also the kind of person that puts on a movie just to listen to it. So I just have my favorite movies playing, even though I wouldn't be watching them, just to hear them.
I like.
Home Alone 2 on audio tape?
For sure.
Cool.
Is that your favorite movie?
No.
No.
I like focusing on movies. I really love movies.
Big Trouble in Little China is my favorite movie.
Smoke a little grass before you watch a movie, Rucker?
No, I can't maintain a weed habit. I get bored with it.
Sure.
Like, I have smoked weed. There's weed in my house.
Damn, I hope the feds ain't on this podcast.
It's legal in California.
Sure.
Yeah, I just look, lose interest.
Cool. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm just saying it just is not a thing for me.
What like other than baking and pastry and all that stuff, what is your most favorite thing to cook? Like what, like where do you, like are you killing it at pasta? Are you,
can
you
make really good sushi? No.
Are you good, like when you're actually making savory food, what is your, what is your wheelhouse?
I think that if I was going to win, if I was going to enter a contest for like savory food, because it's fun entering contests, I would enter the chili contest. I love making chili.
I judged the chili contest last week with Chris Stewart, the other member of this podcast.
Oh.
R.I.P. Stewie.
Oh.
What was the chili that won?
It was number 15.
It was number 15.
Number 2 came in, right?
How did you know that?
Because I listened to the other podcast yesterday. Nikki was talking about the numbers of the thing. She was like hanging out.
Yeah. She's chilling.
And then you were like, what was the winning chili? And she's like, I don't know, it was number 15. I thought that was funny.
So yeah, that was funny. Describe the winning chili to
number
me.
15.
And she's like, number 15.
Yeah, exactly. 15 was, it was kind of like an all meat chili.
Ooh, I'm licking my lips already.
That's like a traditional, right? All meat. No,
but it was not traditional in the sense that there was no ground meat in this all meat chili. It was more, we were trying to figure it out.
That's also traditional.
I think it was more like, it could have been...
chunky? Cubes?
No. Kind of strands. Tomatoes, strands, definitely some chocolate. So it had like a mole hint to it. There's a lot of cinnamon, a little bit of clove.
Where was this contest?
Highland Park, next to a bar that I really should remember the name of, but it was
Johnny's?
Kind of this back area.
Tony's?
It was right next to Cafecita.
Cafecito Orgánico.
What was the purpose? Was it a fundraiser?
Yeah, I think it was like a kind of like just for the neighborhood. Kind of like they had some donated gift cards that were the prizes, and $5 got you all you could drink beer, and then there was a band playing kind of covers and stuff.
That's nice.
It was really fun. I had a blast.
Was the chili that won, was it just a regular kind of straight ahead chili, or was there like a interesting element to it that made it stand out? Like,
I mean, this
was,
is
was there like a funky twist on it, or was it just
there was
a straight
not,
ahead?
Let's just put it this way. There was 15 and 2, and then there was everybody else. I mean, there was not...
Tunnel vision on the chili.
There was a lot...
Choices.
Well, there were 3 judges, and we all
had... That's how it is with pie contests,
we all
too.
Came to the exact same conclusions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's like there's 1 or 2 or 3 where like these are excellent, and everything else is just horseshit?
Trash.
There was only one that I almost spit out. And then there was a lot of kind of like, oh, I guess that's chili... But and the one that came in second was a more traditional chili that had a little bit of beans. There was ground meat. There was some corn. What really blew me away was how...
Corn in the chili?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's not a traditional chili. That's California.
None of it was supposed to be traditional. It was just about chili. So,
but the first one sounds more traditional.
Yeah, I guess on a scale. But flavor-wise, I would say it was somewhat untraditional in that it had a really heavy mole chocolate thing going on.
Nice.
Follow-up question. Do you think you could have won this competition
yes.
if you entered it?
Oh, really?
I do.
That's fine.
Oh, no, I think I would have, like... And look, I do not brag about my cooking, and a lot of times I don't think it's that good.
But you make a good chili?
I do make a good chili. But what I would say for my chili is that, you know, I toast dried chilies and grind them before I put it in. And then I put in poblanos and serranos and jalapenos. And there's a lot of whole chili along with seasoning. And there's a lot of flavor. And it may not be everybody's favorite, but it at least has a perspective and it has a personality.
Yeah.
And a lot of these chilies were just like tomatoes and meat. and maybe some ground chili.
That's a real bummer.
And it was like, and it was fine. No, I mean, I think it's all about having fun. And I would say like my chili at least would have, like I said, a personality. And right. A lot of these were just like, oh, okay. Some of them were even under seasoned, under salted.
Oh, that's everyone. That's every normal person making anything is always under salted.
Right. But I was saying when I was like, I really wish I could have. And I had so much fun judging it that I want to do it again. They were saying we could do it again. I want to enter it, but I had so much fun judging it. You can't do both, but
you got to enter.
Very curious.
You got to enter.
There's one that happens at this old bar in Playa del Rey every summer that they put up big banners for.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chili contest. It's pretty fun.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I think the whole Highland Park bootleg vibe of this thing was what I found fun. You know, there's like just a lot of like chaos going around in the background. And I mean, that part of it to me was kind of like, that's also what made it enjoyable.
That's but fun.
It was cute. I had a good time.
Love chili.
It's called Chillin' in the Park.
That's
cute. And I think it's like the fifth year or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I judged the last one with Adriana.
Oh.
Cozy Kitchen.
Cozy Kitch.
Cozy Kitch. That was it rained that year and that kind of sucked.
Yeah, it's outdoors.
What else we got here, my friend? Oh, let's talk about food trends.
Oh, great. What do you want to talk about?
What food trend are you ready to see die?
Oh, so many. But the truth is that all things are delicious for a reason. So if it's delicious, then does it deserve to die?
I'm so with you.
So, it's a trend.
Well, maybe not die.
I'm ready to not have... This is such a cliche thing to say. I'm ready to not ever have an improperly made kale salad again in my life.
Mm.
I was wondering if kale was going to come up in this conversation.
Improperly made kale salad.
Kale is a delicious vegetable. And mm-hmm. I have, five kinds of kale growing in my yard right now.
It needs to be sliced in the ribbons if it's going to be in a salad.
It's just not treated properly. So, you know, you get a lot of shitty kale salads. Like, what's sweet greens? Worst kale salad ever? Bad? Terrible?
Yeah, sweet greens is just bad in general.
Hmm.
So what is your ideal kale salad then? How do you believe it should be treated?
Cook it, not make it into a salad.
That's pretty good.
That's how you make it good. Let's cook it. That's a great idea. Or put it in a smoothie. It's good.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not a kale salad.
So stupid kale salads, adios.
It's just like you can't digest a kale salad.
Because it's so fibrous.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
What would you prefer to have a salad made out of then? Spinach?
Any other thing. I don't like spinach salads. Ooh, interesting.
I don't like spinach salads either that much.
It's dirt. Tastes like dirt to me.
I like the taste of spinach. I find spinach texturally
like
to
dirt.
To be kind of on the lower scale of green. I like all greens. But
cooked spinach is okay for me.
Absolutely.
Love cooked spinach.
Like a little iceberg? I find spinach to be low on the list.
Iceberg is one of my all-time favorite lettuces.
Mm-hmm. Are we best friends?
The lady from Windrose Farm, my friend Javi, who's one of the chefs at Squirrel,
mm-hmm.
he and I strong-armed her into considering growing heirloom iceberg lettuce just for he and I to make taco salads.
Mm.
Or wedges.
Wedge salads are delicious.
Have you ever had heirloom iceberg lettuce?
No, but it sounds like it would be good.
Yeah, I really want that to be
Can't be
thing.
Worse.
Yeah. There's multiple colors of iceberg. Red, purple, green,
clear,
not just white.
Clear is my favorite one.
I got some Googling to do when I get home. Buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, brother.
Andre orders the baker's seeds catalog.
What what do you think is emerging on the food trend scale? What are you predicting is going to be next on the pedestal?
Well, I'm trying to prepare everyone for soup being a thing again, not for old people.
Soup is not just for old people.
No.
Okay.
Name a place in Los Angeles where you can go and sit down and get a bowl of soup.
I've thought about this so many times.
Vaughn's.
There is nowhere. There is nowhere to get that good bowl of soup.
Gelson's on a certain day.
Okay, Gelson's maybe. I haven't been to Gelson's.
Well, it depends on what your definition of a good bowl of soup is.
Well,
what kind of soups are you really fucking
with? I like
all
kinds of soups. But like a well-made, well-seasoned bowl of soup.
Yeah, why can't there be a place that has like, you know, five or six daily drivers, something's rotating, and some nice salads, and then good bread.
Yeah. Well, and welcome to the Nicole Rucker Baker opening summer 2017. Major component of our menu.
Really?
Huge.
Oh,
it's basically
so
the reason we're opening a bakery.
Ugh.
It's to have a place to eat soup.
Bless your heart.
You know, I used to go to this place.
My life mission.
There's a place in Hollywood. It was a bagel place, and I would go there before work when I was working at CineSpace.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart and I.
I feel like I remember this.
Oh, that's where my husband met you, at CineSpace.
Probably.
That's sounds like a cool dude.
I met your little DJ boyfriend in the club one time, girl.
That's weird. He doesn't. Does he go to clubs?
Apparently he does.
I don't know.
So, but before I would go there in the mornings, I would work there in the office, and there was a bagel place like on Sunset and Highland, where it, just like a dumb little strip mall, but they had vegan soups as well. So you can go there, you get a bagel, and then there was three like crock pots, and they would make like handmade soups that
were
all delicious.
I'm sure they were like soups that got delivered to their bagel place in like a cryovac plastic bag.
It's possible.
And then they dumped them in a, like a warmer pot because that's where most soups come from.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be dumped? Couldn't it just be gently placed? In?
Well, ladled in.
What? Would you ladle something out of a plastic bag?
Ladle something that you
could
bought from
pour
Sysco?
It?
No, probably not.
I think
when you say dump, you're adding a little bit of a negative vibe to it all.
What? So then what's up with a dump cake? Is that negative?
I've never had one, but on its face, it sounds horrible.
I think it's really good, actually.
Is that
like
a dump,
about
dump cake is a thing? What
I
is
think
it?
It's like pudding and cake batter, and you dump it in a casserole. And,
okay.
Well,
the
point I was trying to make is the thing that I loved about this soup place, which you could consider sacrilegious, but the soups were self-serve, which allowed you the option of mixing and matching and combining soups.
I wish this microphone could record my face. That's
your
a horrible idea.
Why is that a horrible idea, though?
That's gross.
It's not gross.
I don't
to
make
do
a
soup mix.
But like, what if I'm making like really good soup and I think about it a lot and like making a well balanced, perfect thing, and then you're like, I'm just gonna mix this shit together and like
gonna
it's gonna
add
be
clam
great.
Chowder.
Yeah, like no, go do that at your house, dude.
What do you feel about when you go to an ice cream place and you get two different
I never
scoops
do
of
that.
Ice cream?
I don't do that.
You don't do that?
You get one flavor.
Why don't you do that?
Because I like to focus on one thing, one flavor.
That's so intense.
Well, you also have to learn that not everybody is like you.
But it's my bakery. So
this is an excellent point for opening a restaurant, is you can do whatever you want.
But much like
you can have your soup place down the street.
Look here,
and you can call it dump soup.
Dump soups. Ooh.
And here's the other thing, depending on what kind of soups they are in terms of viscosity, you much like an ice cream cone, you can layer the soups without mixing them together.
No.
So you can do a chowder base.
First
one
of
third
all,
chowder
is a mistake. That is a horrible mistake.
Chowder is delicious.
Chowder is fantastic.
Corn chowder is delicious.
No.
What kind of chowder? The creamy chowder or the tomatoey chowder?
Creamy chowder.
But
both,
like out of a self chowder, out of a self serve, you know, soup thing, and
depends
then you're like
the
layering
Fish King
it.
Has a very nice chowder.
No, guys, don't layer the chowder.
But I've done this before. You do a base layer of one soup and then another soup on top of it, and then you just gingerly eat the soup off the top layer. You don't scoop all the way down into the bottom. There'll be a little bit of crossover where both soups
when
kind
I was
of meld.
In Florida, there was a really famous seafood place. I'm forgetting the name, and they're famous for conch chowder.
Mm.
And they had a red, which was not like a Manhattan, but it was like a red chowder.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a little spicy. It was really bright. It was really citrusy. And then they had a classic, like white, creamy bacon conch chowder.
Mm-hmm.
And on the menu is half and half. And they kind of ladle them together at the same time.
That sounds
so
cute.
So you can eat off the sides.
Well, what do you know?
I would never order that.
But so what happens is you can eat like the side of one and get just that soup. Or you can start swirling the middle where the line where the two have come together and start doing that.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
I'm against this.
Playing oh, it was wonderful.
Where were you in Florida? Why were you there? I like Florida so
Combo convention. Why else would I be in Florida?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I was in, where was it in Florida? Fort Lauderdale, I think.
Hmm. Cool.
No, never.
Not
cool.
Not unless cool it's Miami. No? Florida is.
Really?
Although the seafood shacks are pretty fun. I will say, I went to a lot of them, and all of them were a lot of fun.
I've been to.
Yeah. Well, there's some nice places in Florida.
Maybe, yeah.
Hilton Fort Lauderdale had a huge, fun pool.
They have nice gardens in Florida.
What kind of gardens?
Like cocaine? Tropical.
Cooking gardens. The best.
Yes.
Looks like a nice tropical cooking garden. So, what is your all-time number one soup that you make?
Oh, well.
If you're such a soup head.
This is hard.
What gets the golden ladle?
The golden ladle. Should I name it the golden ladle?
Your bakery? No. Yeah. Name your bakery the golden ladle.
No, you don't think so?
No. I make a really good minestrone.
I like minestrone. That's a nice one. Let's see.
But when you're making your soups, are you making your version of a traditional soup or are you creating soups out of thin air? Or are you like, sometimes, here's my tomato basil bisque, recently, here's my carrot orange, here's my...
Recently we talked about making a kind of pozole hybrid that's vegan, but using kimchi in the broth to give it that like intense kind of like almost like clam-like flavor, like the fermented cabbage flavor, but like only in the broth. And then you would take it out and then put all the stuff for pozole in that kind of like cabbage stock. Kimchi stock. So sometimes it's creating new things by trying to like think of how.
That sounds good. Yeah. I just saw a video of somebody making a kimchi consomme.
That sounds good. Was it really nice and thin and beautiful? That kind of sounds what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It was just like a pot of water with a bunch of kimchi that he cooked for a while and then put in some egg whites and stirred it around and then that sucked up all the solids. And then you're just left with a clean.
Yeah.
It was Ludo who was doing it, unfortunately, but...
Oh, God, now I can't do it.
But that's a good idea.
Well, I was kind of thinking, like, because I was experimenting this summer, last summer, with, like, making vegetable stocks, because they're not really stocks, but, like, trying to get, like, a really rich flavor in those things and using that as the base. And so I kind of found a way to get to that by, like... super chopping up all the vegetables, almost like they're mashed, like out of a vegetable juicer.
Like baby food?
Less chopping than baby food. Literally like the trash that comes out of a juicer.
Got it.
So more like vegan, hippie commune, like using
like
the
compost
trash.
Mush?
Compost, yeah.
So okay. Like the chicken bones from a chicken, you're using the leftover fibers from
but
a
no,
vegetable.
No meat,
no?
No meat,
no,
just
no, but
vegetables.
That's what I'm saying. Like you make chicken stock. With bones, not chicken. So you're making vegetable stock with leftover vegetable fibers
out of a
juicer. Well,
it was fresh vegetables, okay. But it was all chopped right up to replicate. Because, like, the idea is that the more surface areas that you have available to the water, the more flavor and things you're extracting from the vegetables. So I tried making this, like, disgusting-looking vomit-like mash and steeping it. And then we put in a piece of kombu seaweed at the end, which gave it, like, a little bit of, like... viscosity because kombu has that natural kind of gel factor to it. It was just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it added like a mineral flavor. And it almost looked and tasted like it had an implacable meat in it. Like the color and the flavor was like, oh, this could have an animal product in it, but it didn't. And then any soup that we made out of that was like really layered and had a lot of it wasn't like a
depth
typical
and richness and complexity
vegetarian thing. Yeah.
So you made so you're trying to make the most flavorful and powerful and exciting vegetable broth or stock.
Yeah.
Smart.
Thanks.
I'm a big fan of thickening my soups with a little bit of stock and blended beans or blended tortillas.
Love beans, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had beans before?
I just ate them yesterday.
Super good. Ooh,
same.
Yeah, bean soup is good. I used to make bean soup when I was in college. I made an awesome lentil soup with like different little herbs de Provence in it. I thought it was really groundbreaking when I was like 19.
I would say it was for a 19-year-old.
Lemons and herbs de Provence and red lentils. I was like, wow, I'm on to something here.
I made a very interesting lentil soup with some herbs in it. And
I wonder if my friends are going to think they're in
Thank you,
Europe when they eat this.
Huh?
I wonder if my friends are going to think that they're in Europe when they eat this.
Oh. Hey, David Chang.
I like to make gazpacho, but like interesting gazpacho. Like,
gazpacho interesante?
Like green tomatoes and melon and olive oil and shallots and garlic. And it's like super good. Almost like a smoothie, but with olive oil in it.
Do you strain it or no?
I like to be very smooth. Yeah, like really.
You don't cheesecloth it, though. You don't go that far.
I don't think I would cheesecloth it, but I would strain it through a fine strainer. So it didn't have as many. But, like, I would blend the shit out of it. Like, right. Really blended.
Blend the shit out of it, strain it.
Served cold or served, like, room temp?
Cold.
Cold, cold.
Not cold, cold, but, you know.
Refrigerator cold.
Maybe, like, 5 minutes out of the refrigerator. Okay. With, like, a splash of sherry vinegar. That sounds good right now. It's kind of hot. I would eat that.
Good
right
that
now.
Does sound good.
Yeah.
With some bread from your future bakery.
Yeah, totally.
Crunching down on a nice Persian
I'm going
to
make
cube.
Turkey chili okay again and popular. I love turkey
That's
chili.
That's a hat.
That's what I made today.
You made a turkey chili?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a good
but
guy.
I use beef stock.
That's not turkey chili. Come on.
What? Sure.
Is it?
Well,
but
I
it's
think
beef.
So. Well.
Do you make turkey stock?
Yeah. Turkey or chicken.
Yeah. No.
Turkey or chicken?
Still in the bird family, not a cloven hoof animal.
I can't argue this fact. You are correct.
Yeah.
But
I would still eat it. Turkey chili is good. That's a good meal.
It's an incredibly good meal.
Beans or no beans?
I make it at least, I would say, probably on average twice a month on a Sunday or Monday for the week.
We live very similar lives. This is very strange.
Yeah.
Can't believe we've never met before.
We have.
Oh, right.
Oh, guys. Hey, guys.
Turkey chili. That's good. Do you make it with all ingredients from Trader Joe's like I do?
No. But I don't. I mean, I wouldn't be against that. I could probably pull that together, except for they don't have the fresh chilies I need.
They do have fresh. Oh, well, maybe not
they don't
the
have,
variety.
Like, poblanos.
Oh, they don't. Yours sounds like fancy turkey chili. I make like a 90s soccer mom style.
That's, but
like
that's,
a packet of taco seasoning, pre-chopped mirepoix. Can of tomatoes, browned turkey.
Pre-chopped mirepoix?
Trader Joe's, ready
so
in 20 minutes.
Here's what I've been doing. No, but I do some
The hood. Room is spinning.
It's amazing.
Unsubscribe.
I do some hood stuff in my turkey chili, though, that I'm not proud of. So I don't use tomatoes. I use ketchup.
See, this is equally... I mean, that's a thing. That's... Don't. Almost as
don't try.
Bad as...
Don't try.
Because what will happen is...
This is a food podcast. We can't do pre-chopped mirepoix from Trader Joe's.
In all honesty, I don't actually use pre-chopped mirepoix, but when my friends ask me for a recipe for turkey chili because they've eaten it and they've been like, Nicole, it's so good, I'll be like, okay, well, you could just get pre-chopped mirepoix. Mm, and right. Then they do. So, right. You know, but I don't.
For the dum-dums. You would never do that for your own.
Never. Got I love it. Chopping vegetables. It's Same. So much fun.
Yeah, you've probably won a chopping competition.
Also,
fun. Should we do that?
I buy butter beans by the case because I love butter beans so much.
Hungry.
And I always have a butter bean.
I love butter beans too.
I always have a can of butter beans
That's
in my chili.
That's a nickname.
Butter bean? I like it.
You know, Kevin Farrakhan, he was on this show, right?
He was.
He calls me Dr. Butters. That's my nickname at work.
Oh, that's good though.
That's a name that he would definitely
that
give
is a very good name for a pie expert.
Dr. Butters.
Your pee. Says, hey, doctor, how's it going every day? Hey, what's up, doctor?
Cute.
Ark didn't
fun.
Know that it was like a thing, and he was like, why are you calling Nicole doctor? And he's like, well, that's her name.
You'll learn one day, boy.
Come on, kid.
D Butters.
This is the prime of the show where we.
Wait, no. I wanted.
He wants to talk about beans more.
I wanted a couple minutes here.
Oh.
Bean it up, baby.
And you can just pass on this question.
All right.
Because you probably had it. Asked so many times, but what's the elevator version of the common mistakes that people can change when they make pies at home?
Make more of them.
Yeah, is it just like
make many pies of them?
Is it Malcolm Gladwell?
Make it more than once a year. I once saw Malcolm Gladwell eat a pizza at GTA that I made for him. And then he was, like, sitting on a milk crate eating a lamb sausage pizza. And I was like, I'm the only person in this entire place that knows that's Malcolm Gladwell.
Probably.
I felt like I was there
Probably.
With him.
Maybe.
Where
know.
Was this at?
It was LA.
Venice.
Mm-hmm.
GTA. Jelena. Takeaway. That was fun. Nice guy. Nice hair.
Fair. All right. So whatever you do,
make
if you're
going
to make a pie, be able to recognize Malcolm Gladwell.
Make a lot of them.
So just get a lot.
Just do it more than once. Everyone is like, I want to be an instant genius. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Rarely it happens. Sometimes it happens. But, mm-hmm. That's, you know. Just like make more than one a year. Make one every couple of weeks. That's how my friend Mark did it.
How's Mark doing now?
Nicole, how do I get better at making pies? I was like, make one every month. So he started making one every month. He worked at Patagonia. You're wearing a Patagonia hat.
Sick.
He started bringing pies to Patagonia once a month or something like that. And he just like really got into it. Now he can make a pie anytime he wants without fear.
Sure.
You have to have a confident pie hand.
Well, you get that by like getting used to it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to burn a couple.
How do you become a DJ?
Nothing yet. The same thing. You just got to get
more.
Those hours under your belt.
Exactly.
So there's only...
It's interesting. That's the same way you become a doctor.
That's true.
Or
a
everything.
Dr. Butters.
Yeah, Dr. Butters.
Yeah, it's how you become a doctor too. So just try it more.
But that makes a lot of sense because it's like I'm really good at making tuna sandwiches or whatever. Like, or just I'm really good at making sandwiches. You're like, okay, that's great. You probably make sandwiches all the time. But like... People don't make pies that often. People make pies once a year, and you have to really make a actual concerned effort to do that when it's not pie time.
I throw a lot of things away. Like I threw a lot of pies away. I threw a pie away like 3 weeks ago. I was like, "This is trash. I can't do this." You just have to do it more, and like, don't be so attached to all of the ingredients that like it's going to kill you if you make a shitty pie. Also, like, maybe the filling is still good and you can just, like, scrape it out and eat it with ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I feel like you may have done that before.
Turn into a cobbler.
There's a good photo of me dropping, like, 6 pies on the floor and then everyone scooping it up into deli cups and eating it with ice cream.
Aww.
Nice. You don't want to throw it away.
Cute.
Smart.
Yeah.
Cute and smart.
And selling it to customers.
We didn't do that.
That's not what I heard.
That's not something we did.
I would buy like a deli cup worth of floor pie.
Floor pie.
For the right price, sure, I'll eat some floor pie.
Yeah. Buck?
I would have to pay you to eat the floor pie or you would buy it?
No.
I was like, you can have a deli cup of hot floor pie.
Like if I got a pizza and it was like add floor pie for 50 cents, I would probably add the floor pie.
Mm-hmm, yeah. If it was priced to move.
Yeah. Not like on top, I mean on the side.
Oh, like I have this pizza that
like
I dropped
a combo
on the
meal.
Floor.
Yeah, like a combo meal.
I don't know. I don't think I would.
It's also illegal.
Is it?
To sell food at a restaurant that fell on the floor?
I think so.
I mean,
I should look into that.
It's at the very least unethical.
I should look into that before I open.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a Subway sandwich 5 years ago, and I'm pretty sure it's not illegal. I definitely ate Subway.
Yeah.
Subway.
Yeah, they make their food on the floor.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
They provide people with jobs.
That's fair.
You always know the way to find a silver lining to the cloud.
They give jobs to people.
And apparently it's always jobs because she's cut us off at the legs twice now with this jobs argument.
Yeah.
The opposite of Donald Trump. Or maybe the same. I feel like that's a similar.
Ooh, I'm not touching that.
Okay. Well, anyways, next.
What's the best thing you ate all week, Andre?
I had a friend in town visiting with his daughter from Toronto. And so he's lived on and off in L.A., worked on and off in L.A. over the years. He loves tacos, and he'd been to some of the places I wanted to take him, or a couple, probably because I took him to him last time, but I took him, he'd never been to Mariscos Jalisco's for the fried shrimp, the Camarón Dorado, fried shrimp taco, hard shell taco, and his eyes rolled in the back of his head, and he just didn't understand why it was so good.
Hmm. Have you had that one before?
And I hadn't been there in like, probably, I don't know, like at least 6 months, because it's Boyle Heights is a drive, and it's not a fun drive.
No. Mm-hmm. It's hot.
But it's so good. It was. I mean, I rarely kind of overeat, and I think it might be because it's kind of far away and I don't go there very often, but I definitely had like 4 tacos or 5 or 4.5, which is like definitely...
And those are kind of big boy tacos.
They're big tacos.
Definitely 2 too many.
Wow. That's good. Good for you.
Yeah.
You know, you got to fill up that well.
And then agua chili,
tacos go
sometimes. Ceviche is just like... Just everything there is incredibly good. But... Since the last time I went, there's like another bootleg seafood truck that's now parking next to it, just like with the exact same menu, but with a different name, just hoping people like go
there.
Yeah,
I think I heard one of the guys who used to work there left, like they had a bad falling out, and he opened his other place in hopes of taking it down. Like it's
sounds
not quite
like
as
a,
good, and it's not quite as expensive as whatever.
Exactly, that's exactly what
sounds
it looked like when I
walked by. Sounds like a knife fight waiting to happen.
Yeah, man.
Because I went. It's been a while.
Why
I went to
be a knife fight in Boyle Heights,
and I was like,
because they're cooking and they have knives.
Sure,
good save.
Chop, 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 chop.
The best thing I had is not the best thing, but it's I thought of this because of our previous chowder talk.
Oh.
I went to a place that I found on Yelp in Glendale called Fish Time. It's not that good, but they had a thing on their menu called chowder fries. And it's basically just poutine.
Made with
chowder. But it's just chowder instead of poutine, instead of gravy and cheese curds and meat.
And you got it.
Got it. it was good. Well, this is the problem. The chowder itself was very good, but like French fries immediately just turn into, you know, liquid sand after you pour hot clam chowder all over them. Like it got mushy instantly. So like the fry part was not good, but all in all as a dish, pretty interesting. I wouldn't order it again, but the chowder was good at Fish Time. Also bad name for a place.
Is Fish Time like a fried fish, fisherman's basket?
No, it's more of like a modern, like fast casual kind of place where they have like poke and then they have like a fried fish burrito and like they have like it and it was very highly rated on Yelp and it wasn't bad.
It kind of actually sounds good.
They got beers for cheap. It's not bad.
Sounds like an identity crisis.
Where is it? In Glendale?
It's like on brand right next to Hot Wings Cafe, just north of the Americana.
I know where that is.
So yeah, chowder fries. If we could find a way to make chowder fries good, I would like to eat that.
Here's how you make it good. Don't use chowder.
Don't use fries.
Fries are delicious.
Do you like of course. But you don't like, you don't even like a sourdough bread bowl with chowder?
Oh, I hate, you know, several people have asked me that in the last 7 days. What about sourdough bread bowls? I don't like sourdough bread bowls.
Love them.
Do you like sourdough bread?
I love sourdough bread.
Sourdough clam chowder bread bowl is a wonderful
But
thing.
The bread is always bad.
Not in San Francisco.
When was the last time you had it?
Like within
And you still
months.
Thought it was good?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Rough.
Well, your opinion is a little biased because you're like a staunch chowder hater, which
I
is...
I hate chowder.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why I would ever be convinced by you.
You should not trust any... You shouldn't trust anything that I like or make...
Well, I will say
no, that's not true.
It does make for a good pod, though. You are a fun pod guest.
Thanks.
So kudos to you.
Thank you.
What about you? I texted you.
Oh, you told. Oh, right.
I told you.
Think about that.
You got one chambered?
That sounds horrible.
You got a little chowder chambered?
My God. What the hell? What a if you chowder just... chamber?
Yeah, that's what I call bread bowls. Yeah, what if you just out of nowhere were you like, psych, the best thing I ate was chowder. I love chowder. I've been lying this whole time.
No. Did you guys grow up in LA?
Southern California.
Oh, okay.
Santa Cruz.
All right, you said Santa Cruz. Sorry that I don't remember anything about
me.
Your life.
You gotta lay off those doobies, girlfriend.
Fair.
Come on.
Okay, so the best thing I ate was that last Sunday, this past Sunday, my husband and I went to Bandera in West LA, which is a Houston's restaurant.
Mm. Oh, okay.
It is my favorite place on the planet.
The Houston's is a...
This is a Houston steakhouse, and it's a Southwestern style steakhouse. It has like amazing art, like super, like Mary Ellen Mark photographs and like great collection.
Oh, shit.
Oh, beautiful place.
Where in the West Side is it?
Sound in the whole of any restaurant ever. And they have a live jazz trio that plays every single night.
Wow, Bandera.
It's a great place. And we shared a steak. We have like an order that we get every time that we go there.
Mm-hmm.
Caesar salad.
Okay, yeah.
They make their Caesar salad with cornbread croutons.
Tableside?
We sit at the bar.
Cornbread croutons.
Cornbread croutons, Caesar salad.
Nice little Southwestern flair.
It's delish. Jalapeno cornbread. And then we like to each get a cocktail while we have the Caesar salad. They also do grilled artichokes when they have them with like a zesty dill kind of mayonnaise Aioli. Thing. Love that. And then we share a ribeye and it comes with a side of tomatoes. And it's great.
Side of tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's the only curveball I hear.
You don't like tomatoes?
I love a tomato, but it's an odd side for a ribeye
steak.
It's
like a tomato salad with like a little blue cheese on it and micro basil.
Sounds fun.
Okay, well, that's different than a side of tomatoes.
It's like basil oil on it. It's
yeah,
pretty.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's a salad. Okay. It's great. Ribeye is beautiful.
Yeah, the Houston's people are known for their ambiance.
Oh, yeah. And everything is
the lighting
so nice.
Is good.
The best part about going to Banderas and what makes the food taste better is that it's in West LA and there's a lot of like escort/cougar action at the bar that you get to watch.
Oh, really?
And it's a beautiful thing to witness in person. It's like one of the last standing wonderful old school places where, like, you know, rich white dudes go to meet hot young ladies.
So it's a well-preserved cougar sanctuary.
Well, it's both cougars and, like, dudes trying to pick up on ladies. There's just interesting interactions there. Mm. There's jazz playing, which makes it feel...
Right.
Last time we were there, we sat next to this guy who's, like, a pretty well-known jazz musician, apparently, in L.A. Someone recognized him.
Mm-hmm.
So great. Dinner is the show at Bandera.
Yeah. That was the best thing I ate.
That sounds great. I want to try to go there.
You should go there.
I will.
It's fun.
I'll take a date.
Good place for a date. Still don't sit at a table. Only sit at the bar.
Got it.
What? No,
maybe I need to go solo.
Oh, you should.
And clean up in the coug.
You could.
In the cougar chamber.
Happy hour. They don't do happy hour, but like the hour that is happy hour.
You
is
go there around 5:45 p.m.
It's a good one. It's a good scene.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm in.
Thank you so much for doing this, Rucker.
Thank you.
Great pod.
Thanks.
You're a real treat.
Thanks.
If people want to find you online, what's your Instagram? Is that where you're most prevalent?
It is Nicole_Rucker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go on that Instagram. She has cool...
It's a lot of photos of my dogs.
A lot of photos of her dogs. Every once in a while, you can catch them without vomit nearby.
I've never posted a photo of dog vomit.
Good for you.
It's gross.
Way to keep those followers up.
Yeah.
You could follow me on social media at themjeans, and you can go to thestewpodcast.com where all the websites are living and the podcasts are also living. iTunes is another place where this podcast is available and you're probably listening to it there. If you like the show, do take a brief moment and click the subscribe button. Give us a nice rating and review.
Freeze.
By our moms, Karen and Jill.
Bye, Jill.
Is your mom going to listen to this, Nicole?
She might. Her name is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Bye, Rachel.
Bye, Karen. Do 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 do